sounds and descriptions can capture a person, place, event, or feeling so clearly that you can see in your mind's eye whatever it is that is being described. My name is Troy Klein, and you are listening to the first stop on our audio voyage for Sun Earth Day 2007, Living in the Atmosphere of the Sun. As a result of your feedback, we have decided to complement our normal Sun Earth Day podcast with a new series of descriptive audio reports from different NASA locations. During each stop of this voyage, we will be recording as much of the natural and ambient sound as possible. Your job is to pay close attention to everything you hear in the background. My job is to describe everything I see. Together, we should be able to paint quite a vivid picture in the mind's eye. In future podcasts, we will explore how astronauts protect themselves from our sun's stormy effects, and how they plan to protect themselves during extended missions to the Moon, Mars, and beyond. Join me today as I climb into the mid-deck of a real space shuttle mock-up at NASA's Johnson Space Flight Center in Houston, Texas. With us is Adam Flagan, a member of the technical staff, maintenance, mechanical, and crew systems. Adam is also an instructor in the space shuttle program. For the next 18 minutes, Adam will walk us through a high-fidelity mock-up of the shuttle's crew compartment chamber and will give us a quick peek into how today's astronauts are able to take care of their most basic human needs in space, food, clothing, and shelter. If you are currently connected to the Internet, you can visit the podcast page of sunearthday.nasa.gov and follow along with a series of shuttle diagrams. So what I see in front of me right now is a staircase. Has, it looks like, about 20 steps that it takes to get all the way up into the open hatch.
That's right.
And we're looking at what side of the shuttle right now?
This is the left side or the port side.
The port side.
Yeah.
Well, shall we get started?
Yeah, we're going to climb up what we call the platform.
Okay.
All right,
here we go.
Well,
just so I don't trip and fall on my way up.
Yeah.
Oh, I see the hatch. Now, this hatch that I'm looking at, that's enormous. It looks extremely heavy as well.
Oh, yes, it's quite heavy. We say it's about 300 pounds.
300 pounds, and it's about 4 feet wide?
Yeah, 30-something inches or so. Not quite. The actual opening, you can see, if you look closely, you can see it's got some layers to it. The outer layer has the what we call TPS, thermal protection system, or the ceramic tiles.
Okay.
And then the inner layer is the actual pressure vessel.
I see.
Where the crew members inhabit. So that's why it makes this hatch so big. It's got to be able to seal up the crew module and provide thermal protection.
Now, this hatch is circular, and instead of it opening to the side, to the left or the right, like I would expect in an airplane or a door, this hatch actually comes forward and lays down on the ground in front of us, or lays horizontally, and we have to step up onto the hatch to get in through the into the shuttle.
Yeah, that's correct. This is in a post-landing config right now, as if the shuttle was at the end of a mission laying on the runway.
Okay.
However, for pre-launch, this thing would be in the vertical configuration.
That's right.
So the hatch would then be on the left side.
I
in
see.
The vertical.
I
and
see.
Then this mechanism here would actually be its hinge, just like on a door.
Okay.
So normally it would swing open and close, just like a door we have in our home.
Now, is this where the astronauts would actually enter the shuttle?
That's correct. This
okay.
is the primary means of ingressing and egressing the vehicle.
I see. Well, let's jump in. Let's see how this works.
All right, just be careful. There's lots of things in here that you can bump your head on.
Okay.
Snag your nice clothes on.
I probably
just go nice
will.
And slow. And if you hit your head on anything, you owe me a dollar. How's that?
you'll be a rich man when we're finished. Okay, right now I'm actually crawling through the hatch. I believe you can hear the sound difference in my voice and the echo. There, I just stepped through the hatch, and where I'm standing now is amazing. I can look straight up above me And there's a separate portal or hatch with a small staircase with about, or actually a ladder that has about 8 or 9 rungs on the ladder that looks like it goes right up into the cockpit.
That's right. It's called the flight deck.
The flight deck. With about 13 million buttons. It looks like one of those Bugs Bunny cartoons that I used to watch when I was a child.
The numbers are around 1,200 switches total.
1,200. Wow. And I can also see straight up through. There are some windows in the very top that, if I were the pilot,
that's right,
I could look right out into space or down on Earth.
Yeah, we call those the overhead windows.
Overhead windows. Incredible. Well, now what I'm noticing all around me as I step on this metal flooring is that there are hatches on the ceiling, on the floor, on the walls, and so forth.
Oh, yes.
Can you explain what we're looking at?
Yeah, well, first off, normally when we come in this mock-up, for the first time I let visitors just kind of take it all in, just like you did, and kind of look around. And then to kind of put together a plan of attack, I usually start on the port side here and work my way all the way around forward to the starboard side and talk about all the little things you see. I end up on the aft side here, and then we'll go up that ladder that you first saw when you came in up to the flight deck.
Okay.
And then go out the same hatch we just came in. So if you'd like, if that sounds like a good plan of attack, I'll just start on the port side here.
All right.
And start working my way. And if you guys have any questions at all, please let me know, and I'll be sure to go in more detail of it.
I will certainly do that.
Sound
and
good?
The first thing that I would like to mention is the room that we're standing is actually about how many feet wide?
You know, that's a good question.
Like it's about 10 feet, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe even more.
Uh-huh.
We have a lot of stuff in here, so it's kind of hard to gauge. But if I spread my arms, there's 6 feet, roughly. Yeah.
So two arm lengths, huh?
Yeah.
Two complete arm spans wide.
Good eye.
Okay.
And then the height, I would say, is around 10 feet, or excuse me, 8 feet.
Which is nice. I don't have to duck. I can actually stand comfortably.
That's right.
Whereas, of course, that doesn't matter if you're in microgravity.
You got it.
You can just float around. Can you turn that feature on?
Yeah. I'll turn on the zero gravity.
All right.
Right here on the port side, you can see there's two large objects.
Uh-huh.
The first one on the aft closest to the side hatch that we just came in is called the MAR, or Mid-Deck Accommodations Rack, and it's essentially like a large closet. It's a mission-specific stowage volume.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily fly on every mission, but when it does, it contains these items. At the very top, we have what's called a centerline camera.
Mm-hmm.
And a backup centerline camera. And that's actually the camera that missions that are going to the space station, they use that for docking.
I see.
It's such a critical piece of hardware, we actually fly two of them. We call it Crit 1. It's so critical that it's A number one important. So here's primary and here's backup. In between those, we store typically laptop computers.
Okay.
We call them PGSCs, or Payload and General Support Computers. And typically a mission nowadays flies 7 to 10 laptop computers. So this MAR is a nice place to put that.
Okay.
And also right below that, you can see we have a color printer.
Nice. Now this entire cabinet that we're looking at is really about twice the size of a typical high school locker when you think of it.
It's quite big.
And of course everything in here is white, blue, and chrome, which really makes me feel like I'm in space.
Sure. MAR, it was required when it was designed to be able to handle a spacesuit.
I see.
If we have, let's say, a damaged spacesuit, we can put that suit inside the MAR. So that'll give you an idea how big that is.
I'm also noticing everywhere in this chamber that we're standing in, I see pieces of Velcro.
Yes.
What are those used for?
If you notice, they're about 2 or 3 inches apart, and they aren't very big. They're 1 inch by 2 inch, and they're what we call a pile, and it's 1/2 the mating portion of Velcro.
Okay.
All the loose equipment that the astronauts pull out would have the hook portion. So let's say you have a camera.
Uh-huh.
You could temporarily stow the camera wherever you'd like, anywhere throughout the vehicle. So it's our primary means of temporary stowing all the loose equipment on orbit.
So it makes sense that it is everywhere I can lay my eyes, I see a piece of that.
That's right.
That Velcro.
And we don't, we have to maintain that spacing, that pattern that you notice. to basically prevent a fire. If we had fire, yeah, it wouldn't spread much more than the size of the Velcro. So.
Okay. Now, just to the right of the MAR, what are we seeing?
Yeah, this is what's called the galley, or I call the astronaut kitchen. It's a big white object. You can see it's got three sections to it. The top third is called the rehydration station, or RHS.
Uh-huh.
Most of the food we fly is dehydrated and sealed in a vacuum-packed bag for weight and stowage savings.
Okay.
So when they want to prepare or reconstitute or rehydrate the food, they'll pull it out and come over here, slide this mechanism out, and it's like it's got a clamp, and they'll clamp the food or drink item right in, like so,
uh-huh,
and then slide this whole mechanism into the needle. I don't know if you can...
Yeah, I can... I see the needle there just behind it, and this whole mechanism is a chrome color, and it's about, about the size of, maybe about 6 inches wide, and it's circular.
Yeah.
And you just place your...
food or drink item right there.
Inside. Mm-hmm. The needle punctures that once you push
exactly.
this shut, like I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. And then you can calibrate the amount of water you'd like to put in it with the style.
Okay.
And it goes in half-ounce increments,
uh-huh,
from a half-ounce all the way up to 8 ounces, just with that rotary dial like so, and you can hear the details.
Now, when the needle punctures the pouch containing the food,
right,
what happens then? I mean, we don't want food floating all through,
that's
through
right.
the air. So how do the astronauts actually get the food?
Yeah, on each food packet, there's what's called a septum. It's essentially a one-way, like a rubber check valve.
Uh-huh.
And that needle lines up right with it.
I see.
As soon as you pull that needle out of the bag, it self-seals again so you don't have the water or the food
nice.
Escaping and floating all over
okay.
the place.
That would be quite a mess.
Yeah, it would. But mealtime is actually one of the most enjoyable times for astronauts. They can you'll see lots of photos or video of them where they're so-called playing with their food and actually relaxing. It's also a time where the whole crew, a typical shuttle crew of seven, can all convene here on the middeck,
mm-hmm,
sit down and talk about what they've experienced during the day. As soon as they're done with meals, they go right back to work. So,
full-time job.
And also food, from what I've heard, is very good.
Is
it's
it?
Very tasty. Yeah, happy astronauts are productive astronauts. So.
I'm with you.
Yeah, and sorry I don't have an example here for you today, but this is a fully functional galley. If you'd like, I can go ahead and turn it on and demonstrate.
Let's do that.
It is actually quite noisy.
So I'm crouching down now.
Yeah. The bottom third has several controls. The bottom one here says oven, RHS.
Uh-huh.
This switch turns on the whole unit. You can kind of hear the pumps. It's calibrating itself.
Okay.
It's turning on some heaters. It wants to warm up the water and also chill down the water. And it takes roughly about a half an hour for this thing to go through all its calibration process. In about a half an hour, if we wanted to, we can grab some food and give it a shot, and we'd either have hot or cold water.
Well, it'd be interesting to be able to say I've had my meal aboard the shuttle.
Yeah, definitely. It would be neat. Above that, here's something. This is the oven. It's not necessarily an oven that they use to cook things. All the food is pre-cooked.
Mm-hmm.
So this oven is more or less just to keep things either hot or to reheat it.
Okay.
And right above that, we have a switch that turns on a fan.
Okay.
Yeah, that's quite loud. And it's... Actually, let me show you something here.
Okay.
We'll close the door. And you can see that attenuates the sound a little bit
it
better.
It certainly does, and this small oven feature is only about half the size of a typical microwave.
Yes, very small microwave.
But in this case, it's not a microwave.
No. All right, any questions on the galley?
Not yet. If I had some food, I certainly
sure.
would try that.
Sure, actually, you know what? Here's something that we kind of almost missed.
Uh-huh.
Right here, this thing says Oxport.
Okay.
And you can see it's a QD, and... right below it, there's a knob, and it says hot to ambient.
Okay.
And you want to take a guess on what we'd use that for?
Hot to ambient.
Yeah. What do you suppose?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm at a loss. I'm thinking maybe to warm my food up to a particular degree.
Yeah, let's see if I have a particular piece of hardware.
Okay, we're opening a couple of the hatches to the right of the galley.
Yeah, this is called the post-insertion locker, and what I was looking for is this hose. And this hose would interface with that QD, and on the end of the hose would be a dispenser.
Okay.
And that's their shower.
No way.
That's the astronaut shower right there. So it's about a 8-foot-long hose.
Okay.
They would take a washcloth, get their leg wet, put on some soap, lather it up, and then dry it off. Then they do their other leg, and then their torso. And then
so where we're standing now is actually the shower room.
You got
as well.
It. So you're right here in the middle of the mid-deck.
Okay.
And you can imagine taking an astronaut shower isn't... it's kind of a hassle, and water would be floating all over. You have to be very careful. And so most astronauts, for the most part, don't shower their whole mission. Yeah.
I bet they're really happy to get home after that.
Yeah,
then, aren't
so
they?
It's a rough camping trip, let's say.
Okay.
Interesting, huh?
Now, I believe we have about 5 more minutes
sure.
time to walk through, so let's just move to the right.
Yeah, right. And this is a whole bank of lockers. There's a total of 44 mid-deck lockers.
Okay.
Pretty much everything we fly is located in these.
Okay.
And to open one, if you want to give it a shot, Troy,
okay.
you lift up on these safety latches, rotate the levers in till you see the red arrows.
Uh-huh.
And once you got that, the locker should pop open. Once open, inside there will be a tray, and in each tray you'll have clothing, food, written procedures, medical supplies, experiments, and other various hardware that the crew members need to meet the objectives of their mission.
And this compartment up to my upper left, that's about eye level, says Fred. So
yeah.
somebody named Fred stuck in that compartment.
It actually stands for Foot Restraint Equipment Device. It's a long duration device that they install on the flight deck for robotic operations.
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
And it's nicknamed the Fred.
The Fred.
My guess is the person who designed it is named Fred.
Likely.
Yeah. Continuing over here on the starboard side, you notice these blue bags that are attached to the starboard wall. Each crew member gets their own sleeping bag,
okay.
and they're launched in this location, and they'll also come home in this location.
So they really do look like super sleeping bags that
yeah.
are just latched by harnesses to the wall.
You got it. They'll take them down, and they can install them pretty much wherever they would like to sleep on these same lockers we were just looking at.
Uh-huh.
You can have 2 people sleep here. 2 people can sleep on this wall. Some folks can sleep on the ceiling, sleep in the aft, pretty much wherever they'd like to on the MAR that we saw earlier.
Uh-huh.
And the sleeping bag, of course, provides warmth, but that also has this dark blue material here.
Okay.
This is a Nomex material with a cotton weave. It acts as a mattress. Of course, you're floating around in space, and most of us are used to sleeping on a mattress at night. So this kind of mimics that. And the way it works is you have this strap that you can move up and down the assembly,
mm-hmm.
and it's a bungee material.
Okay.
And this will put tension or force on your body and give you that sensation of being on a mattress.
I see. And it really, when I rub my fingers across it, it feels just like canvas, but...
Yep.
Probably a little bit more durable than
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And it is Nomex, again, to prevent fires.
I see.
So. Attached to that, you'll see there's a green liner. It's
uh-huh.
just like a mummy bag. There's a place for their arms to come out,
okay.
a place for their heads to come out. For their head, we have a pillow. And to give you a sensation of the pillow, you have to use the strap again and go over your forehead like so.
I see. So yeah. there's a pillow that goes to the back of your head that's about a foot wide,
mm-hmm.
and then this strap wraps around the front of your forehead to keep
yep.
the pillow attached to the back of your head.
That's right, and a lot of crew members just take the same strap and they put it over their eyes to help attenuate the light at night.
That's what they should add to all of our flights on airplanes. That would
yeah.
make sense.
All right, now we're back in the aft area.
Okay.
And here's this additional lockers. Identical to the ones we just looked
I
at
see.
On the forward. Continuing around, we have way back there the airlock.
Okay.
And the airlock is the depress repress chamber for when they're doing a spacewalk. They'll go in there, put on their spacesuits or EMUs, extravehicular mobility units.
I see.
Close this hatch, very similar to the hatch we came in originally.
Okay.
Depress it down to vacuum and then go out the hatch. Out into the payload bay.
So I'm looking through what looks like three three concentric circles almost.
Yes.
You go through the first hatch, through a second hatch that's about, maybe 4 feet wide in diameter, uh-huh. and into the room where they would be prepared to go on into space from this area.
Yes. And amazing. It's a pretty small room. You can see there's two suits on the wall.
Okay.
And that's pretty much all the room you have. And that's all you would need for a spacewalk.
It's funny, but with gravity, it's so much more difficult to get around inside here. And I'm imagining without gravity or in microgravity,
right.
you would just simply float through these hatches effortlessly and
yes.
from one end to the other.
A lot of things in here is definitely designed for microgravity.
Okay, well, we've gone full circle, and I believe we'll prepare for the next leg of our tour. I'm right now exiting from the hatch that we came in through and back out onto the deck. Okay, we're back outside, and I would like to thank you again for
sure.
your time.
And, my pleasure.
And I hope to come back real soon and check out something else here.
Absolutely.
Well, that wraps up the first stop of our voyage. I would like to give a special thanks to Debbie Nguyen for her kind support and assistance with this podcast. Debbie is the education representative in Johnson Space Flight Center's Public Affairs Office. Sun Earth Day invites you to participate in two upcoming webcasts, one on February 22nd and the other on March 20th. For details about these events and more, visit our website at sunearthday.nasa.gov. While there, don't forget to register in order to receive your free Sun Earth Day educational kit filled with NASA materials rich in science content. If you have questions or comments about the Sun Earth Day podcast, send an email to sunearthdaypodcast@mail630.gsfc.nasa.gov. That's Sun Earth Day Podcast at mail630.gsfc.nasa.gov. Sun Earth Day is a program sponsored by the NASA Sun Earth Connection Education Forum at the Goddard Space Flight Center and at the UC Berkeley Space Sciences Laboratory.
This is Troy Klein signing off.